date is November 19, 1997. This is Ruth Hendrickson interviewing Christina Ziegenhorn for the Harford County Library. Okay, so you weren't born in Harford County. You were born in New York City?
No, I was born in New York City.
Well, I don't hear an accent.
No, you don't hear an accent?
No.
Well, my parents were Scottish, both of them, and we were first generation here, and I think we carried part of that, and we lived in Massachusetts for 8 years, and we part of that, and we lived up the state of New York, part of that, and all, and then Maryland. Mm. We've been here 37 years, 38 of the years now.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel like Harford County and Maryland.
Right. How did you come to Harford County?
My husband's work. He worked at General Electric and New York in Equity, and where their main headquarters are, and they practically shut down, and everybody was allowed to get, you know,
mm-hmm.
laid off. My husband did editing and writing, and for them, and it's really easy job to find a replacement. But Martin Marietta was retiring from his work, so that changed. So we came down here.
And where did you live?
At that time,
mm-hmm.
we lived on Baldwin Hill Road,
mm-hmm.
Right opposite the old cemetery. That it is a cemetery, and this is a church. It's some kind of a Baptist church, I think. And it doesn't look like a church, but it has all these tombstones that are back in the 1700s.
Oh, nice.
Very old cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Our house is right opposite, so it's very nice, quiet neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Did it feel like a big switch coming to Harford County after being in New York?
In part of it wasn't, because each time we moved, because we lived in Connecticut, Massachusetts, upper New York State, and then Maryland, and each time we moved farther out in the country.
Oh, okay.
We just loved the country,
mm-hmm.
and like never go back to New York City. Although I have very happy memories
mm-hmm.
of New York City, because
mm-hmm.
in those days it was safe.
Yeah, I'm from New Jersey. I don't want to go back that way either.
Yeah,
I don't want to go back that way. But what were your first impressions of Harford County? What did you do when you came to Harford County? Did you go right to work?
My husband preceded us, and we waited for our two children to finish school in June. We were looking for them to do it. And then we came down. My husband went to the house on Houston Road. And
is that right?
Mm-hmm. So that's Mm-hmm. And it was a funny little story. It had a little, you went back and then the ground went down. So that was where we shopped.
Mm-hmm. And did you go to Baltimore if you had to do big shopping?
Yes, I remember the first trip that a gal that worked, her husband worked with Martin Mayer, and she was in then to that. And she was trying to be kind to me, so she said, I'll take you down to Eastwood. We didn't have the malls up there
right
then. Take me down to Eastwood. Well, I thought that was just beautiful, not so far. And I felt so scary that I thought I'd never be able to drive out that far and found my house again. You know, I just felt lost.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a scary shot.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you do when you came to Harford County? Did you go to work?
No. When I came to Harford County, my youngest one was in the fifth grade. And my next one was in just going into high school. We were in her middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And my eldest, my daughter, was in her senior year of high school, and she went to North Harford. So with the same, as long as I was raising my children, I never went to work.
Mm-hmm.
But when my daughter went to college, then we had to have an income. And at age 58, I went back to work as a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And with the state.
Mm-hmm.
And first I worked for the Department of Education and Adult Education. Director of that. And then after that, I was in another director. Then you went to Air Force, and I worked at Federal Capital. That was here. But, so I I let the city know around that I was looking for another state job. And the very, very next week, I had a call from parole and probation. And it's the Bowling County and Hoffman School, located in Hoffman County,
mm-hmm.
over, what was the name of that store? It was an appliance store.
Oh, Lexus?
Lexus, right over Lexus.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was, and
Western Auto?
Western Auto is right up there. And so I worked there for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it.
Did you?
So I was secretary to work for five times criminal agents that did reports on crime.
Oh, that's interesting.
And not only that, but they call that pre-sense investigation.
Oh, my.
So you got the whole history of criminal, you know, and so forth. And then when they got came out on parole and come to our office because they had to report to the other agents.
Was that ever scary?
Only one time it was, and that was I was the only one left in the office. Everyone had gone, and I had wanted to finish some work that I
mm-hmm.
liked to keep up on too. So, you know, the old school, you do your work till it's done.
Right.
The new school,
right. Mm-hmm.
And came upstairs, and it was rather scary. And I really recommend this experience
mm-hmm.
because I was alone in the place. Fortunately, he didn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
But I had an interesting experience. There was one young man that was out in, he was arrested as a adult. In Harford County here, and they were all caught, and of course, he was sentenced, and the one had the gun,
mm-hmm.
and he was 10 years in jail. Well, I thought I knew the family from Harford County,
mm-hmm.
since my time, and there was a correspondent, and I got a correspondent with this young man, and his mother had been killed in an accident,
oh.
in which all five kids were in the accident.
Oh, dear.
His mother died,
oh.
and he was and I knew he had a terrible experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt for him, and my heart just went out to him, because the Lord said to me, write to that kid. He needs correspondence. He needs contact. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
And when he finally came out, they let him out for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Their behavior. But when he came out, he had no place to go. And he had started using heroin.
Oh,
while he was in the prison. How did I get it? I don't know. But anyway, he was heroin addict ever since he came out. said, I've been riding for all these years. By this time he was, well, anyway, he was about 20.
Mm-hmm.
And he had no place to live, so he was living in Allenton. So, I called my husband, he was working at the post office in the state. And I called and I didn't sell a home, he had no place to live. And I didn't know what kind of, anyway, I didn't know what I was bringing home.
Right. Now what am I going to do?
Oh, no. I thought, oh, now I'm free to do it.
that wonderful?
And I'll tell you a picture hanging on the wall. I tell it my lady.
Oh, yes, she is.
And her husband is so wonderful. And she's had a son who's five, and she's had a baby girl who's a year old.
After this, all
after
this,
all of
isn't
this.
That wonderful?
The first one was cesarean.
Uh-huh.
The second one was, she gave me a natural birth.
Isn't that wonderful?
So I'm able to go over there, and I can stand on the hospital and she's got my leg.
Oh, my goodness.
5 months before that.
Lord's not ready for you. That's a wonderful
and
story.
It's like I have another family.
Uh-huh. Another daughter and a grandchildren, right?
Right. Last night, Robbie is five, and they have had a certain children. So it's just happened up in Jackson, and they had a certain children for many months. Last night, it was closing night. And she wanted to go, and her husband was in Virginia.
I mean, we belong to a lot of volunteer organizations, and there's no young people coming along doing this. That's how I'm feeling, that it's harder to get the younger people involved in volunteering.
Is that right? That's too bad.
It is too bad. We were raised with different values, or we have different values than the kids today. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a shame.
Thank you.
all your children around in Harford County or close by? Oh, well, that's
so close. But they always, at first when they were married, they lived in Harford County.
Sure. Well, if you had a magic wand and you'd like to see something changed in Harford County, what would you like to see? You're that happy with it?
Only because there are too many restrooms. And I, every time I see another mall going on, I think, not that another mall.
Oh, right.
Well,
there really isn't. But you're right, it is a shame. You just, because the more people you have, the more services you need, the more schools, the more libraries, the more everything. I'm sure. This is a big county.
It's a big county. Aberdeen, Haverhill, Edgewood, all the way down that way. It's a big county. But it eventually, like every department is going to have to do it.
Sure. Well, now tell me what you do with these cats. I couldn't figure this out. Did you go and do? I have to read what this is. Will you go visit the cats at the Humane Society?
Right. I haven't since I had the heart surgery.
Okay. Oh dear.
Both legs. And those are still coming. It takes a long time for those to get up. I can't get around on my legs. And I have to go up steps. At the Humane Society. You know, they call it the cat room upstairs. And what I did do for that period of time was I would go up and just be company for the cats. Because they need the human touch until they get adopted. Some of them are in cages. Some of them are running free.
And you didn't want to bring them all home with you?
Oh, I wanted to bring every single one home.
That's the hard part, believe it.
I love any kind of animals, but these cats, I love them all.
It also says for a while you were a volunteer with Meals on Wheels.
You know, that was one of the things.
Is that right?
I didn't
do Meals on Wheels. Well, how are you busy in your church?
Yes, always. Because that's
no. That was it. Okay. Oh, good, I noticed that. We'd be talking and talking and just talking. Now we fixed our battery.
Right, we're all set.
There you go. This also said you were president of the North American Business Women's Association.
That was connected in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
New York City was the headquarters for the YWCA.
Oh.
It was called the Business and Professional Women's Club, mm-hmm, of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from a local club to where I learned to tap dance and a lot of other things. How to put makeup on.
Oh, my.
And learned a lot of things. And
uh-huh.
We did a lot of things, programs on, like social studies. It would be like what's happening in our country and what's happening abroad and what's happening in the business world, that sort of thing. And a lot of stuff like that. But then I went on, I was elected to the regional group, and that was the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was elected, I went on anyway out to Chicago for their annual meeting,
mm-hmm,
and I was elected president for the United States.
Wow. And what year was this? Like around?
Oh, I was, let's see, how old was I? I was probably 22.
Oh, my.
23. So
and this was
so
when
was
it was, a long time ago.
When you're 85, 23 sounds awful.
It does, it does. But this was a time when not a lot of women worked, wasn't it?
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
To work in professions, you know, like nursing,
mm-hmm,
even there were some doctors,
mm-hmm,
women doctors,
mm-hmm,
not as many as now. And then business women were those who were secretaries,
mm-hmm,
and I suppose bookkeepers or anything,
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm. And what did you get? What did you do as president of this group? Did you travel a lot?
I kept in touch with the, you know, the various regions,
mm-hmm,
and was able to tie some things together and work on projects and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Just general overview of what,
mm-hmm,
was going on.
You probably didn't realize you were a woman's liver back then.
No, I really wasn't a woman's liver. But I'll tell you one thing that did happen to me while I was in that position, when I was in the regional.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the time when the underground of communism, I mean, communism went underground,
mm-hmm,
in the United States,
mm-hmm,
and they were very shrewd and worked their way into different organizations. And there was one communist, a woman, that had worked her way into the business professional world, and she kind of singled me out to come to the American, what did they call it? I can't remember the,
mm-hmm,
name. Anyway, it was called the American, not something union,
mm-hmm,
and come to their meetings. Well, I went to the meetings, not knowing she was a communist,
mm-hmm,
and I went to the meetings, and pretty soon the lights began to go on, and I thought, this is a communist group, you know?
Oh, my.
And but they wanted to be able to report it in the paper that the YWCA was involved.
Oh, my.
So when I knew that, I got back to her and I said, I'm sorry, but I can't continue with our relationship because we have become kind of like, you might say, friends.
Uh-huh.
She had ulterior motives.
Uh-huh.
Because I said, I realize it's a communist organization and I don't want any part of it and so forth. So I got right out of that as fast as I could.
Oh, my. Isn't that so? I mean,
to the benefit of the YW as well.
Sure.
My
sure.
They would get a black eye.
Sure. Oh, my. You just don't expect people to do that, do you?
No. Right. But it was an interesting experience.
Oh, it sounds like. Well, it sounds like you've had a lot of interesting experiences. Do you have a favorite person you ever met in your lifetime?
I met Eleanor Roosevelt.
Did you really?
Yes. And I was so thrilled with her. We were on the same platform together.
Uh-huh.
And she had her the string of pearls.
Uh-huh.
I remember that pearl, her pearls, and she spoke to our group. I mean, to a big auditorium full of people.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason or other, I guess because of this professional thing, I was up there on the platform with her, so I had a chance to meet her personally.
Uh-huh.
And I always thought very highly of her.
Uh-huh. Well, she's plain as weird. She's always depicted?
Yes, she was very plain, but very sincere and very down to earth and a very wonderful woman.
I think she's had an interesting life.
Yes,
yeah, she did.
Certainly has.
Yeah.
She had a sad life.
Well, she did.
Her husband.
Yeah.
But what she carried on,
mm-hmm,
she was very important part, I think, of this country's development.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of good for
mm-hmm.
the country.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything you still want to do?
Want to do?
Mm-hmm.
I want to live as long as the Lord wants me to live, and as long as I'm living, I'm not quite sure what it is down the road, but God knows. I just want to be a good grandmother to my grandchildren, and I want to be a good helper at the school, wherever I can, and affect those little lives. And so those little first graders are like handprints in sand. They just lap up your love. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the teachers said to me, one of the great teachers said, we need them to be helped with their reading, but they also need a grandma.
Oh.
Because she said, so many of these children, they're the one, like a single family, you know, not the father there,
uh-huh.
or the grandparents live in California or somewhere else. And they just need the caring and the loving and the cheerfulness of a grandma.
Uh-huh.
So they don't call me grandma, they call me Miss Chris.
Oh, do they?
Last year they called me Mrs. Eganhorn, but I said,
that's a lot.
Name for anybody to have to learn. Call me Miss Chris this year.
Uh-huh.
So when I went back, I took the phone.
Uh-huh.
And they're so precious.
Isn't that wonderful?
Back on the end of the hall there.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the hospital, they all sent me, each one did their own card.
And
it's like, they're sort of like little posters. And they have animals on it. People and they're amusing, and the spelling of the word—it's really comical. But anyway, they expressed their little heart that they hoped I'd get well soon and come back soon. That was the best teaching reading we ever had. Things like this, you know.
You had to get
and
better.
We love you.
Oh, you had to get better then.
Oh,
you had
I
to
did.
Get better. You had to get
I
better.
Did. I got quite well. They said I did very well. You
uh-huh.
know, because when I'm down with anything like that, I'm anxious to get up and at it again, you know. And when you expect to get well,
mm-hmm.
you have a better chance of getting well.
Mm-hmm.
That was a rough time.
Oh, yeah. Where do you think you got all your spirit from?
The Lord.
were your parents the same way?
Yes, my father was a darling, and my mother was just so precious. And we had a happy household. My
mm-hmm.
father came here first from Scotland,
mm-hmm.
worked 2 years so he could save enough money to send for his sweetheart. And my mother came over and they were married the next day.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh. They were at his aunt and uncle in Newark, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Newark.
Yeah, they
Newark, do. Newark, they call it down here. But anyway, and that's what happened.
Uh-huh.
And my father was very outgoing person, very genial, and my mother was quiet and loving.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can't beat it.
Mm,
now, what did your father do?
Well, he had been a coal miner in New York City, in Scotland,
mm-hmm.
and you were in the village he lived in West Green on the ocean there. You were either a coal miner or a fisherman, and his father had been a fisherman, and also carried cargo on those ships to
mm-hmm.
the country. But he went down in the mine at age 14, and they never saw daylight from morning to night.
Oh, my.
From one weekend
right.
to the other. On Sunday, they could see the sunlight or the daylight, because
mm.
they went down in the dark and they came up in the dark. But anyway, he said, this is not for me. I've got to branch out and do something different. So he went down to the shipping yard, and he asked for passage on a ship to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him a ticket, but when he got there 2 weeks later, they were all filled up, even though he had a ticket. He said, well, what other ship do you have going out? I'm going to branch out, go, and have a different license down in the coal mine,
mm-hmm.
in the dark all the time. Very hard work. And so he said, well, there's one leaving tomorrow morning for America. And he said, I'll take it. And he came to America. That's how we happened to be Americans.
Wow. But that's a big step
but
for a young person.
Yeah, he studied by mail. He taught himself engineering by mail.
Oh, my.
Because he couldn't afford to go to school or work. He had to save
mm-hmm.
money to send to a school out there.
Mm-hmm.
So he studied and he became an engineer.
My.
So I give him a lot of credit.
Well, that's where you're getting all of your spirit from, I guess.
Yes, and my mother was such a good compliment to his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was gentle and sweet and loving, and they both had good sense of humor.
Have you been back to Scotland to see the hometown?
Have you ever been back? When I was 12, my parents saved. We lived in a tenement in New York City for a long time, and then we moved down to, my father got a job with us as an engineer in a big building of 18 stories that was tall, and had a penthouse on the roof, and we had the first floor apartment,
mm-hmm.
and they were very expensive, exclusive apartments, elevator, front elevator, back elevator, dorm, and marble entranceway, and it looked right at the 57th Street, 7th Avenue, looked right across the street to the entrance to Carnegie Hall.
Oh, my.
So we lived there for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
But what made me mention that? You have a question?
I asked you if you ever had gone back to Scotland.
Oh, yes. So my father and my mother saved, and my sister was 16 and I was 12, and they had enough money saved so that they could take us, all four of us, to go to Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
My father didn't take vacation for 4 years
so that he could save them up
so he could spend the whole summer in Scotland.
Oh, how wonderful.
We were there 2 weeks. We went by ship.
Uh-huh. How long did it take to get there by ship?
8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother and my sister were seasick the whole time.
Oh, dear.
And my father and I were up having a great time. But anyway, we went over and for the first time met our grandparents, one set of grandparents, the other set. My father's mother and father were gone
mm-hmm.
by that time, but my mother's mother and father were still here, and they lived in a little stone cottage on the outskirts of a place called Kirkcaldy, which was a town where Congolian there.
Oh, uh-huh.
Used to,
uh-huh.
That's where they originated.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And my grandfather was a color setter, anyway, for the rug. So my mother, we stayed at my grandma and grandpa's in this little cottage on the edge of the beautiful countryside, and it was just lovely. And we spent the whole summer, but 2 weeks there, and my father got a telegram. Come back immediately. There's all kinds of problems in the building.
Oh, dear.
And I can't do without you. Poor soul. He
had
to turn around and go back on his own.
Uh-huh.
But we stayed the whole rest of the summer.
Uh-huh.
So I got to meet all my aunts and uncles and cousins, which we had by the dozens all over Scotland.
Sure, sure. Is that the only time you've been there?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to go back?
That's what I think I would like to do, but I know I never will.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my heart condition. I can't be away from my doctors and
mm-hmm.
care.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as I can still move around,
well, it doesn't sound like you're ready to stop yet.
No. And I still drive.
That would be hard to not drive,
oh,
I think.
Oh, I would be lost without that car.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the go all the time. I go to Bible study on Wednesday, and Monday and Friday I do the school work. And Wednesday I have a friend. I go over and do our ironing for
mm-hmm.
her and have a wonderful time. We always have lunch together or supper together.
Uh-huh.
And our husband is a gourmet cook. So half the time I'll say, oh, don't go home and have supper with us. So my dogs all wait for another 2 hours to eat.
Well, they're real anxious to see you when you get home, aren't they?
They are. They're so happy to welcome home.
Well, do you have wonderful plans for the holiday? What do you usually do?
My son, John, lives up in Delta. He's
mm-hmm.
the one that's the gourmet cook. And he loves, and his wife cooks too, but he's the one that makes the fancy things. And, oh, what a spread they make for Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And all the family comes, and they have a big house.
Uh-huh.
They can put one table with 18 or 20 of us, you know, two tables
uh-huh.
together, or three tablecloth. And he's about 16 or 17 of us family.
That's fun.
You know, between her family
uh-huh.
and our family.
Uh-huh.
And that's our plans for her.
Well, that's nice. That's nice. And what will you do for Christmas?
We always have it at John and Dan's, too.
Uh-huh.
It's tradition. Thanksgiving and Christmas we go up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of the rest of my family have a big enough house to hold us.
Right, right.
And they love having us come. So
uh-huh.
John loves to
cook.
To
cook. Did he get that from you? Are you a good cook?
I like to cook.
Do you?
And I remember when he was a little boy, he said one time, Mom, I've never seen you serve a piece of lettuce with a piece of brown on it.
And I thought, my little boy noticed that.
And
he said, you make everything look so pretty. So I really think the way food looks, as well as how it tastes, is important. So that may be very true.
Maybe. Do you have a specialty?
Well, I like to cook the main part of the meal rather than the cake.
Dessert.
But I'll bake.
Yeah.
I bake cakes. Not so much anymore.
Uh-huh.
But I used to bake cakes and pies and cookies for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be hot out of the oven and gone.
That's the trouble. You make it and they eat it.
They eat it so fast, you know. Especially the teenage boys.
Right. They have no bottom to their stomachs.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to still be alive and able to do. My husband went home to be with the Lord 3 years ago.
Oh, my.
And it's 3 years on January 12th.
Oh, okay.
But he had 4 strokes.
Oh,
he was in the nursing home for a year.
Oh,
and
my.
Before he died. But, the stroke took place on the left side of his body, and it didn't affect the speech.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So he and I
could still talk.
Still communicate. And even up to the last, now, our anniversary is January 8th. And we, on that day, well, I was over there all the time, Riverside, Laurie and Riverside. And it was 16 miles over in the same
time. I was going to say, right.
Distance to go, but I needed to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but I went on the Sunday, and it was stormy after that in January, all that week. And he would call me every morning and say, the weather looks bad, don't try to come today. So, but Sunday was the 8th, and I had gone, and we had a wonderful whole day together in the main dining room, and we did special things and so forth. And we had our 50th anniversary, and our family all came to the nursing home.
Oh, how nice.
But anyway, he and I together, they were playing music that we were familiar with from way back. And it was a waltz. That's the only thing my husband could do with it.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't a fox trotter. But anyway, and he stood up and pulled up his face on me.
Oh, special.
My hand at a YMCA co-ed weekend out in Saddle River, New Jersey.
Oh, I know where Saddle River
is.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big farmhouse, and all the girls lived in the farm, stayed at the farmhouse for the weekend, and they had a big barn with a big floor above it for the top, and they had all bunks up there, and the fellows stayed over in there. That's where they lived. And then we all came over to the main house for breakfast, supper, and we played tennis, and we went to horseback riding, and he said he fell in love with me because I have a picture over there, up down the bottom.
I see it.
And he said, you had the neatest baseball job first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You wore the riding pants that came out like this, and they had leather on the inside.
Right.
And he thought I looked so neat or something on with those jockeys. But the odd thing is, I hadn't met him yet, and we were in at the first meal. And we all came out, and there were white steps in front of the farmhouse, big white steps. And we all stood, and there must have been about 50 of us all together. And we were on the top row, and I was standing right next to him. I hadn't met him yet. And so that's the first of us. And as we came down the stairs, one of the secretaries from the YW said, there's somebody I want you to meet. And one of the men secretaries said, there's somebody I want you to meet. And we both were introduced to each other, and that was
it. Meant to be. It was meant to be. And how long after that did you get married?
Well, you'll laugh when I tell you.
The next day.
I knew Fred for, 5 years. We weren't married yet. He said he didn't think he was ready for marriage. But he said, and I think you ought to date other guys and gals, and, we ought to play the field and stuff like that. So we did date others, and in those days, It was so nice. I mean, you could take 35 guys and nobody thought anything about it. And you went out to the movies, had ice cream, or went to the soda fountain, or something like that. And it was all clean and above board. But anyway, so we dated different girls. He dated other girls, and I dated other fellows. And two of them had become very serious. And every time anybody got serious with me, he shows up on the doorstep.
He got married the next day.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
While he was in the service at Mitchell Field in New York. During that period of time, he was able to come home weekends and he dated a lot.
Right.
He was in uniform, of course. But he was a handsome guy, too. You see him in uniform up there as you go out.
I'll have to look.
But anyway. What I was going to say, you'll laugh when I tell you what happened. He came home for New Year's, for Christmas and New Year's. And I saw him every day. And we went out to dinner, and we'd be with his folks, and my folks, and all. And still no proposal. After all this time. So he goes back to his post, and where was he going to say his name? Was it Marcus Vineyard? No, it was Red Bank, New Jersey. It was an airfield up there. He was in the Seeking Cortex, the airfield. So he was stationed up there. And he called me from there on January, about maybe the 4th. And he was only back 4 days. And he called me and he said, guess what, we're shipping out. He said, it looks like it's going to be the China, Burma, India area. So he said, I guess if we're going to get married, we might as well make it now. So we got all our papers in order and our blood tests and all that. And I went to Red Bank, and we were married in the chapel at the Fort Monmouth. And right after we were married, I went home to my folks because he had to go. He was still in the service. And the very next week, he called up and he said, "Guess what? We're not shipping out."
Out there.
So I went down to Savannah, Georgia, and had some time with him. And then our first child was conceived, and I was down there until she was 6. I carried her 6 months. And I came back because the pediatrician was here. Our obstetrician, I guess it's called. And I came back to New York to stay with my folks. Until she was born. And then we got 12 days off. From Savannah to come up, see his new baby, see what it's like. And then he had to go back. And then they shipped out to China, Burma, Asia. So I didn't see him until the baby was 18 months old.
That's hard.
But.
Well, you had to be sure this was right after 10 years of waiting.
Absolutely. And the odd thing is, the others that I enjoyed being with,
it
wasn't to be.
It was to be him. I'm sure you
were
sure of it. Well, what are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of? I don't think I'm proud of anything. I'm thankful for everything, but I'm not proud about anything.
You just do what you feel like you have to do.
Right.
Well, it sounds like you're a real asset to Harford County.
Well, I enjoyed really doing the things I've done.
It's wonderful there are people like you.
I thank the Lord for that, and there are a lot. I have a very dear friend up here on Rington Road, just a mile and a half up the road, and she is she's 8 years younger than I am. I think she's 78, I guess. And by my recommendation, so to speak, she became a volunteer several years ago at the hospital, so she's kind of taking my place.
There you go. You're training your replacements.
Right. And another thing, in the evenings, they had, it was education week or something like that, and they took pictures of all kinds of things, and one of the photographers from the evenings took a picture of myself out there reading to a little boy that happened to be Everett, not a classroom, but Everett, and he had difficulty reading, so I was trying to point him, and I'm pointing like this, and he's going like this, you know, and it was a very good picture. But when it came out, it was on the front page, this big. Well, I said in my in the article that I hope that by virtue of having been interviewed, that other women who are older don't have to think that there's still no use for them, because there's plenty of use out there, and they would really enjoy doing what I'm doing, and lots of other things. So I was like saying, get on the wagon and do it.
Right.
You know? So that was the thing that I hoped would happen. And here two new older ladies came on volunteer staff this year.
That's wonderful.
So I'm glad for that.
I'm
not proud. I'm just glad.
Well, it seems like you get as much out of it as you give.
Exactly.
And that's what people have to learn.
You know, you don't do it to receive.
No.
But you can't. It's like a smile. You can't give a smile away without getting a smile back.
Yeah, it's a shame more people don't understand that.
Yes, right. I mean, I know people that are very, very sad in their old age because their heart is not for other people. It's me, myself, and I. And then they're left with just
me, myself, and I. Absolutely.
And life is not full.
Yeah.
And I feel like my life is full.
You can see it in your eyes. And your smile. Yeah. Well, I sure appreciate you taking the time.
Well,
it's been wonderful.
Some of your questions.
Absolutely. Oh, but it's fun.